If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and you can begin to turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 28. The book of Acts, chapter number 28. And while you're turning there, I'll just, for a brief moment, as Pastor Pavel asked me, just kind of introduce myself. So I'm Ross Kibito. I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is my beautiful wife, Sarah Beth. And we have two little girls. They're 7 and 5 years old. They're Gracelyn and Kentley. And we've been here at Summit for a year now. We came in September of last year to spend some time in the sabbatical program, to go through that program. And we had heard about the program through Pastor Nick, and we had pastored for a couple of years, and my wife had gotten very ill, and so we had stepped down from pastoring, and we were just kind of back home in Baton Rouge, and we were seeking the Lord for his direction for our lives and what was next and all that goes with that. And then Pastor Nick came down to our church and preached a conference. And throughout that conference, he just very briefly mentioned something called a sabbatical program at Summit International School of Ministry. And the moment he mentioned it, my heart was just pricked and I was stirred by the Lord. And so my wife and I began to pray about it, and it wasn't long before we had a witness in our hearts that this is where God wanted us to be, just to take a year of our lives to be refreshed, to just kind of reset and to seek God for whatever it was that he had in store for our lives. And so we've been here for a year. It's been one of the greatest years of our lives. We've honestly seen the Lord move in so many different ways that time wouldn't permit me to tell you all the ways and all the things that God has done in our lives this past year. It's been such a blessing being here. And then just recently, we were offered to stay for another year, to do a residency, to stay on staff for a year, and to just serve in any capacity that we could. And so we're excited to be with you guys for at least another year, and just to be able to worship alongside of you, to serve you in any way that we can. And we're just so, so thankful to be a part of what God is doing here. Acts chapter 28, and Pastor Pavel, thank you for the opportunity to minister this morning. Acts chapter 28, I'm going to minister a message to you this morning simply entitled, Shake It Off. Somebody say, Shake It Off. Shake It Off. Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice or vengeance has not allowed him to live." He, however, speaking of Paul, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or to suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I just want to minister once again this morning, Shake It Off. Father, we come before you this morning, and we do so in the name of your son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you so much, God, for this opportunity that you've given me to stand before these your people. And God, I just pray that in the next few moments, God, you would give us, every one of us, Lord, eyes to see, you would give us ears to hear, and you would give us hearts to receive what you are saying to us in this moment and in this time. And Father, when it's all said and done, as we do now, we will be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Just recently, the 2021 NFL Draft was hosted in Cleveland, Ohio. For those who are unfamiliar with it, the NFL Draft is an event that takes place every year between the end of an old and the beginning of a new season. In this draft, teams are picking young players from college football who they hope will be able to contribute to the success and the advancement of their respective organizations. Now, I wouldn't consider myself a huge football fan, but for as long as I can remember, I've loved watching the first round of the NFL draft. Because these first rounders are the top prospects. These are the men that teams really believe have the ability to make an immediate difference for their organizations. Most first rounders are not being drafted to sit on the sidelines. Most first rounders are being drafted to start the first game of the season and to help their team actually win games. The team's message to these first rounders is very simple. It's we want you to come in and we want you to help us to defeat our rivals. We know that you need help developing and becoming acclimated to the professional environment. So we, as an organization, are willing to give you everything that you need to be able to come in and to immediately help us to be a threat to the advancement and the success of other organizations. You see, such is the case concerning our calling and our assignment in the kingdom. From the time we were drafted, from the time we were saved and brought into the kingdom of God, it is the intention of God that our lives would be an immediate and a legitimate threat to the kingdom of darkness. One of the primary reasons for which God places himself in us by way of the Holy Spirit is to challenge, to confront, and to combat the works of the devil. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "For this reason was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy or undo the works of the devil." And as Jesus was manifest the first time in earthly physical form to do despot to the works of darkness, so now he intends to be manifest through the life of the believer to do the exact same thing. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And we're only fooling ourselves if we think that that's just what Jesus did and it's not what Jesus intends to continue to do. This is the very reason Jesus went to the cross. This is one of the primary reasons that he traveled to Calvary. It was to supply you and I, those who would place our trust and our faith in him. It was to supply us with the divine ability that we needed to be successful in the advancing and the building of his kingdom in the earth. Jesus' message to his disciples just before the cross in John chapters 14 through 16 was very simple. It was, guys, don't worry, don't be afraid. I'm going to the cross so that I can send my Spirit to live within you. And when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will enable you to do the very same things that I have done and even in greater measure. Jesus was telling his disciples, guys, I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to invest everything that heaven has to offer within your life in hopes that you will take advantage of the investment and you will do something with it. And that intention and that purpose for which we are to strive and strain after is that the glory of God would be seen through our lives and the kingdoms of darkness would be pushed back no matter where God places us and to whom God calls us to minister. And you know, it's a beautiful thing because sometimes it is the least likely that take the greatest advantage of the investment. Sometimes we talked about the first rounders in the NFL draft. Sometimes it's not the first rounders that make the most significant contribution to a team's success. Sometimes it's the sixth rounder. Sometimes it's the 199th pick that actually leads their team to multiple championships. Anybody ever heard of a guy by the name of Tom Brady? See, where I'm from, we don't like Tom Brady. And the reason we don't like him is because he's so successful. He took advantage of the investment that was made in his life, and although he was not the top prospect, he took full advantage of the investment that was placed within him, and he believed that he could make a difference on behalf of his organization. And there are certain people throughout in the kingdom of God, throughout both biblical and post-biblical history, who have especially taken advantage of this desire and this investment of God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, searching for a heart that longs after him. And it goes on to say that when God finds the heart that is bent toward him with hunger and desperation, it says that God intends to come through to that life and to show himself in mighty and miraculous ways. And there are people, we can read about them all throughout history, who have taken advantage of this desire of God to have a people through whom he could work, and a people who would really believe that what he has given to them, the investment that he's placed within them, is sufficient to do something for the glory and the kingdom of God. And these people who have taken advantage of this desire and this intention of God, they were not only a people who were known intimately by the Lord, but they were a people who were known by hell. Isn't it funny how oftentimes the greatest contributors have the most haters? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like I said, we're from the South. We don't like Tom Brady. And there's no other reason than the fact that he was successful. He made the greatest contribution perhaps that any other player has ever made to an organization, leading that particular team to 6 championships and now a second team to another championship. And we didn't like him only because he was successful. And can I tell you that if you are going to be a man or a woman who takes advantage of what God has placed within you by way of his Holy Spirit, there is going to be opposition. Hell is going to know who you are. They're going to take note of a people who dare to walk with God in faith. They're going to take note of a people who believe that God can provide them with more than just Sunday morning Christianity. They're going to take note of a people who believe that God is still God in this generation, and that God can still be God through the lives of simple and ordinary people. They're going to take note of that kind of people. Because it is these people, not the mighty, not the noble, not the capable in themselves, but it is those who see their need for God and those who believe that God can do something spectacular through their frail frame. It is these people that are truly a threat to the purposes and the intentions of hell. And such was the case with the Apostle Paul. He was a man, you can read through the scriptures to his own testimony, who was not of great physical stature or appearance. He was not the most eloquent, and he was not considered to be the most capable. He was not considered to be the most qualified or the one who should be the first round pick. He was not the top prospect. But can I tell you that the Apostle Paul was not only known by God, hell was afraid of this man. And it wasn't because of the ability that he possessed in the natural. It wasn't because of some great gift that he had in himself. It wasn't because he was eloquent or he was the most capable. It was simply because he chose to say yes to the desire of God to use his life in a significant and in a meaningful way. You remember when Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, and God meets with him, and it's so radical and it's so powerful. God speaks to Paul right there, and he says, Paul speaks to the Lord first, and he says, Lord, what would you have me to do? And it shows the encounter, the power of the encounter that he had with the Lord. And in essence, the Lord tells him, Paul, there's going to be a lot of things that I'll do through your life if you'll just say yes to me. You're going to suffer, you're going to be opposed, but you're going to stand before kings and you're going to see people saved and healed and delivered. And all these things, Paul, if you will just believe me. And from that day forward, Paul, not because of his own goodness and not because of his own abilities, but because of the God who was within him, Paul made a dent in the kingdom of darkness and forwarded the kingdom of God everywhere that he went. Everywhere that he went. People were touched and transformed. Even if he wasn't standing in a pulpit, if he was just walking down the street and someone needed to be healed, Paul believed that the God that was inside of him was capable of helping people and bringing them out of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And because of this belief of God and God's ability to use his life in a significant, profound, and meaningful way, the Bible tells us that Paul was opposed every step of the way. To his own testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul would say that we are opposed on every side. We are afflicted in every way. And the opposition that Paul experienced, beloved of God, was not because of some disobedience on his part. Rather, the opposite. The opposition that Paul came up against from time to time was because of his willingness to say yes to the intention and the purposes of God. And so what we have to see this morning is that the path of obedience to God is oftentimes laden with great difficulty. And so if you're facing difficulty this morning, if you're facing hardship, if you're facing discouragement, I can't judge because I don't know your heart. I don't know how you're walking with the Lord at this moment. But can I tell you that hardship and difficulty is not always a sign of your disobedience. It's not always a sign that you failed somewhere and you messed the thing up and God's mad at you and God no longer wants anything to do with you. Oftentimes, the opposition that we experience, oftentimes the hardship that we experience is simply because hell is afraid of and intimidated by what's on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said, "There is a treasure within me. And it is because of the treasure that is within me that I'm opposed. It is because the life of God that resides within me, that's why I'm opposed." Because if the adversary of my soul can keep people from seeing the treasure that lives within me, then he can keep them in bondage and he can keep them in hopelessness and he can keep them in fear. And so what he tries to do is he tries to discourage me and he tries to afflict me and he tries to oppose me in hopes that I'll keep the treasure to myself. In hopes that no one will be able to see the life of Jesus that lives on the inside of me. And beloved of God, if the adversary of your soul, if he can shut you down and he can shut you up, then he can stop the forward progress of God's kingdom that is meant to be taking place in the lives of other people. Every attack of the enemy, if it is a spiritual attack, I know there are things we go through on a day-to-day basis that are not necessarily attacks from the enemy. But if you feel as though you are under attack, that you're facing a season of deep discouragement, I want to identify it for what it is. Because every attack of hell is meant to keep you and I from believing that we can be the testimony that God has intended for us to be. Every attack. This is why Paul exhorts us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. He exhorts us to destroy every argument and every lofty opinion that is raised against the knowledge of God. And these accusations that we deal with, they're not just accusations against the nature and the character of God himself. They're accusations, an attempt to convince us that God is not able to be God through our lives. And it is these false notions that we often reckon as true that say God can be God through them, but he can't be God through me. I've failed too many times. I've made too many mistakes. I'm not as gifted. I'm not as eloquent. I'm not as capable as he is or as she is. And God can be God through him and God can be God through her. But yet you have a really hard time believing that God can be God through you. And these attacks are always meant to keep us from walking in the purposes of God for our lives. And I don't know what God's purpose is for your life individually, but can I sum it up as this? Every one of us have a significant and a divine purpose for our lives. And that purpose, whether it looks different from the next guy, it doesn't matter. That purpose at the end of the day is to live your life in a way that glorifies God and does good to other people. And can I tell you that the Spirit of God that lives within you is capable of equipping you and enabling you to live such a life? You don't have to believe the lie of the enemy all the days of your life, that God cannot be God through you, that God cannot save, that He cannot touch, that He cannot heal through your life. Don't believe the lie. And this is what Paul faces most of his ministry. And he gets to Malta. And by the time he gets to Malta in Acts chapter 28, Paul has been through a lot. You read his testimony back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you really see with vividness and with detail all that Paul has had to walk through. And after all he's been through, after all he's had to endure, Paul arrives to the island of Malta. And I want you to know that Paul does not arrive to the island of Malta on a cruise ship. He doesn't arrive there even in a dinghy. Anybody know what a dinghy is? You know those little floatable boats that hang off the side of big boats? He doesn't even arrive to the island of Malta in one of those. No, actually, if you go back to chapter 27, what you find out is that Paul and all of his compatriots arrive to the island of Malta after their ship has been broken to pieces because of a hurricane, and everyone who arrives to the island of Malta is either swimming or they're floating on a piece of wood. Paul's been through a lot. He's suffered greatly. And he arrives to Malta not with pomp and not with fanfare, not with a mighty brigade announcing his arrival. He arrives there on a piece of wood. And when Paul gets to the island of Malta, what amazes me about the Apostle Paul is that Paul, in my mind, had every right to get to the island of Malta, to kick his feet up and say, "Somebody bring me a cup of coffee." Like, he had every right to do that, right? He's been through enough. But instead of propping his feet up and taking a break for a season, Paul sees a need. And he sees a need that he's compelled to meet, not in his own strength, but by the strength that God has placed within him. He sees that there are people on this island, half of them that he doesn't even know, who are cold and wet and they need to be warmed. And so Paul goes to the woods and he begins to gather wood to put on the fire. You see, Paul's a man of grace. He not only preaches a message of grace, but he wants people through his service and through his life to be able to witness the reality of Jesus Christ lived through a human vessel. And Paul is gathering this wood, and as he's gathering this wood to put on the fire, all of a sudden a serpent comes. And the serpent is never far, beloved of God. As we're striving to serve and we're striving to be faithful and we're striving to do what it is that God's called us to do, he's always there trying to rob us from bringing life to other people. And in this season of selfless service, the serpent strikes Paul. And we're made to believe that and instead of offering consolation, concern, or compassion, his onlookers only offer criticism. And you see the attack of the enemy right here. Because now the voice of the accuser is trying to convince Paul that the reason he's going through what he's going through is because of some failure on his part. God must be done with you. But I want you to know that God has a way of shaming and embarrassing our adversary. And the way by which he does it is by taking the things that are meant for our destruction and using them as platforms through which life and hope and healing are brought to the lives of other people. The serpent strikes Paul, and instead of falling over dead, the Bible says that Paul shakes it off into the fire. What would have paralyzed most people, what would have stopped most people, what would have killed most people, Paul just shakes it off into the fire. Beloved of God, I've got to tell you this morning that although it is uncomfortable and sometimes inconvenient, oftentimes these trials are the means through which God gets his greatest glory out of our lives. In one moment, they're saying, right, something supernatural was taking place in his life. Something divine, something out of this world was happening in Paul's life. And what was happening is that the thing that was supposed to kill him didn't kill him. It only glorified God through his life. And this is what God has the ability, beloved of God, to do in and through our lives if we will only believe him. If we will only trust the Lord, these oppositions, these attacks, these onslaughts from the kingdom of darkness that try to rob us of our faith and try to rob us of the ability that God has given us to impact the lives of other people, Paul, God uses those things for his glory and for our good. God uses them. And I just want to say this morning that if you've been struck recently, if the serpent has fastened on your hand, worship, yeah, thank you. If the serpent has fastened on your hand, and you say, I've been through enough, I've been through so much, I don't know why I'm going through this. Can I tell you this morning that God may not always keep you from being bitten, but he'll give you the grace to shake it off. He'll give you the grace to overcome. He'll give you the grace to walk in victory over the thing that is trying to rob you of your faith in Jesus Christ, that is trying to keep you from being the testimony that God has intended you to be. God will give you the grace that you need this morning to walk in victory over every attack that has come against your life. Will you stand with me this morning? And I just want you to notice one more thing as we close. And you can read this when you get home. I won't take the time to read it now. But at the end of Acts, or the next portion of Acts chapter 28, immediately in verse 7, God begins to use Paul right after this instance. Satan was well aware that there were men and women who needed to be touched through the life of the Apostle Paul. And what if Paul would have gotten bitter? What if he would have gotten angry? What if he would have laid down by that fire and said, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm tired of the opposition. I'm tired of the hardship. I'm tired of striving. I'm tired of straining. And I'm just going to lay down right here and quit. And I read the next few verses and I say, look at the people who would not have been touched if he would have just laid down and quit. Look at the people who wouldn't have been saved and healed and delivered if Paul would have just said, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm tired, I'm bitter, I'm broken. I can't go on anymore. But he didn't. He trusted the Lord. He shook it off into the fire and he went on with God. And I want to say to you, beloved, this morning, you have no idea the lives that your life is going to touch if you will just go on with God. If you will just say yes to the Lord in spite of the pain, in spite of the affliction, in spite of the hardship this morning, if you will believe God for the grace that you need to overcome this bitterness that's trying to rise up within you, this apathy that's trying to rise up within you, if you believe God for the grace that you need this morning, you just surrender and say yes to him. There are going to be people touched through your life in a way that your mind right now can't even begin to fathom or imagine. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, God, and I just pray that in the next few moments, God, you would minister to your people by way of the Holy Spirit. God, that you would make these truths a reality, Lord, deep in our hearts. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.